Welcome to the Fatherhood is Lit podcast, where we talk about the best of times, but also pay respect and learn from the crazier times. Our presence matters. Take a ride with us as we show the world how we make our presence felt. Fatherhood is Lit. What's good, Fatherhood? I'm James Lopez, and welcome back to the hottest podcast about fatherhood out, the Fatherhood is Lit podcast. I love learning and make it a habit of connecting with people who I can learn and grow with. This week, I wanted to bring on someone that has also interviewed hundreds of dads for his own podcast and movement, Ned Shout of Rebel and Create Podcast. What's up, Ned?
Hey, what's up, James? So thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, man. You know, I'm honored to have you on here. I wanted to bring you on because I'm always working on becoming a better father. And you have something that's special to me, right? Like, I love to write. And you created a journal for fathers, right? So I want to talk about that. Are you cool with that?
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right. So I like to say that when we care, right, when we care about our kids will always keep us accountable. But you took it a step further and created a journal called the Fatherhood Legacy Journal. Why did you go that route? Was it like sort of like a blueprint in progress for you?
Yeah, great question. So I'm 36 now, and I've been journaling since I was 18 years old. Back in 2015, I was going through kind of a big life change. And it was the first time I actually took all my journals from the last, like, you know, 10 or 12 years. And I just took them and I went away for 2 days, a little personal retreat, and I read through them all. And I was able to reflect back like a time machine and go see who I was and how I became how I was. And it was just so helpful for me to be able to reflect. And with journaling, it's not like I journaled every day. Mm-hmm. You know, I would journal a few times a month, maybe when something significant, either good or bad, happened. And so it was cool to look back and see, you know, the things I'd overcome, the things I still hadn't overcome. And as I did that, I realized how beneficial it was. And so I thought that from that kind of passion for journaling, you know, journaling was already kind of hot in the marketplace, that I would make something specific for dads that was a passion of mine.
Wow. So you said you were journaling almost all of your life. Like, who got you involved in that?
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I know my dad journaled. So I think that he was the one who prompted that, although I don't remember him ever telling me, hey, you should journal, but it might have just been that I saw him do it. And, you know, growing up, he always told me and my brother this story about when he was 18. He lived in Wisconsin, and he, kind of a hippie, bought a motorcycle, rode it all the way to Mexico, was gone for 3 months, and he journaled the whole time. And I think that was a significant story growing up, thinking, oh, that's cool. He went on a rad adventure and he wrote about it so he could always look back and remember those little details that were significant to him in that moment.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's cool as hell. Cause like I love to write, right? And I have notepads all over my house, but staying on track with one notepad is impossible. Like I'll write a couple pages in one notepad. I'll lose it. I'll lose it for months. Yeah. Then I'll grab another notepad and I'll do it. But I never saw it as journaling. I saw it as me just documenting random things that popped up in my head. Like, I didn't put like a date on it or anything like that. I would just put like, you know, fix your website. You know what I mean? Or make sure to include this in the next email blast. And, you know, I would lose it. So growing up, my dad always had me writing, but we never really touched upon journaling. Journaling for us was more for like my older sister, right? And then as I started getting older, I started seeing that, no, journaling, we all do it in different ways. Like right now, people are journaling through Instagram, right? Where they're posting their daily activities. That's a journal.
Yeah.
Right? So what would you say to a dad that says journaling is not for dudes?
Yeah, you know, I think everybody has to find their own outlet of what helps them kind of get whatever's in their head out. I would say that, you know, most dudes aren't doing that already, right? Yep. They're just keeping it all in. Yep. So if I gave you the choice of, you know, joining a group or unloading all that's in your head to a friend, I think that's a harder step for dudes than to do it in a journal. Yeah. So I think the first step would be acknowledging there's probably a bunch of stuff inside of you that needs to get out, and you may blow up sometimes, or you may share a wonderful thing sometimes with somebody, but to kind of create a habit of getting that out. If you can do that in a relationship, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. But if you can't, or, you know, sometimes there's things you just may not want to say that once you write it down, you can move on from it.
Yeah.
So I would say, you know, just start with that. And I think with everything, it's hard to start something. So, you know, the Fatherhood Legacy Journal is, it has questions. So it's prompts. So like every day you would open it up and it has prompts for you. Mm-hmm. That would be a great way to start, like letting it prompt you. And then when you finish it, you might just be able to grab a blank journal after that and know the things that you liked asking yourself and the things you didn't. And then just kind of writing about your life, the good stuff and the not so good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I like it. I like it. I think, so you mentioned earlier that you weren't journaling every day, right? So with this journal,
correct,
are you forcing dads to journal every day, or can they do the same way where they could journal today and then come back a week later and journal again? Like, is it date specific or
it's
just
not, no? It's not. So it is set up as a 3-month journal. Mm-hmm. So it's set up so that, you know, you can start your month and you can kind of schedule out, okay, this month I want to take my kids to breakfast, or I want to take my kids to the park, and here's the days I'm going to do that. And then there's 31 days of blank journal. So they're per day. I personally have found that it doesn't work for me to do every day. Mm-hmm. So like it's April 1st and I'm, you know, probably 75% through this. So it's not, there's no date in it though. So even though there's 31 pages, you can put your own date in. So it's a little bit of a free flow in the structure, but that's how I am too, kind of more rebellious. I don't want to mm-hmm. do it exactly how someone told me to do it. So I tried to leave it where there's no page numbers. There's no today's, you know, it doesn't say Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It just says, what's the date? What's your location? And what time is it? And then it starts by reading your mantra. So a mantra that I have at the beginning, like a little bit of a workshop to write your own morning or daily mantra.
Yeah, to get people like in the flow. I think that's really cool though, because I think with males, especially males with kids, right? Our time is so scarce, or at least we think it is, right? That we bypass sure. things like this. And it's like, if there's no pressure to do it, you might want to do it even more, right? Where it's like, I don't have to do this every day, but I do like what I put there yesterday. So now I have a prompt that could guide me for tomorrow. You know what I mean? And yep, it's almost like totally. you're serving them with giving them organization, but you're not forcing them to write every single day. And I think that's how you do it. Because like you said, we're going to be rebellious, man. We're not going to listen. We're going to jump from page to page.
Yeah, exactly. And there's going to be days where you love it and you're stoked on it. You know, like once this COVID-19 thing hit, I realized I was waking up kind of in a funk, almost like, what's today look like? Mm-hmm. Because our routines were all thrown off. So I started doing it daily just to help get myself in this right mental state to be there, be the guy I want to be, right? Because if I don't decide in the morning, this is who I want to be, my circumstances are probably going to decide for me.
Yeah. No, and I love what you just said about like the whole COVID thing, where it's like, you could also use the journal to look back and say, these are the things I have to look forward to, where it's like, you know, you pull up a journal and it was maybe you journaled about just going to the park. You know, maybe your son got a cut on his arm and you talked about how he cried while you put Neosporin on it. You know what I mean? And it's almost like now I have something to look forward to. Like, it's not all negative anymore. You know what I mean? And I think that's really,
really
dope.
Love how you say that is the remembering that it's the in-between stuff. Like the way you put the Neosporin on your kid's knee.
Yeah.
That can be hugely significant, right? It's like you can let that circumstance, you know, like, oh my gosh, you fell again and blah, blah, blah. And you can make it this big negative, or you can look at this beautiful opportunity to serve and love your kid and create this relationship of trust with them. And I think that sometimes we miss that a lot of this fatherhood stuff is the in-between moments. It's not the big Disneyland or the this or that. It's the drives. Like, I know you got your, you know, the hashtag Uber dad you do.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's all that in between stuff that if we look at as significant is really cool.
Yeah. It makes fatherhood great. Like, you know, like I mentioned earlier, like dads now they are journaling, they are documenting their life. It's just not with paper anymore. And with me, with the Uber dad, that's my journal. that's my journal. You know, unfortunately right now I can't do it because we're not driving too much, but that's my journal, is documenting those in between things where your child says something funny and you totally forget about it for months. Right. And then now you look back and you just laugh at it. Like, I can't believe my son said that. And that's what Uber Dad is for me, where I get to document it. And believe it or not, like, I'll go into my Google Photos and I'll still see some of those videos and I'll be like, man, I can't wait to do this again. Like, I miss it. You know what I mean? So that's pretty
good. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's real good. I mean, that's a journal in itself. Just open up your Google Photos and dip through that. You know, I think that's a great reminder right now, too, for people to do with all that's going on, is go take a look through your pictures. You know, it's actually what we do as a family is I think we started this 3 years ago, but in January, we'll make dinner and then we'll all get around the TV and I'll hook up my laptop and get all my wife's pictures from her phone and all the pictures from my phone and then put them in like Google or iPhoto.
Yep.
And then we'll look at them all from January through December to go, oh man, I forgot that day that we pulled your tooth out. And oh man, I forgot that was so fun that day we went camping. I forgot about that. And it's a good way to look back at who you guys are, how you grew, how you look different. So I think regardless of if you're doing it in a journal or photos or however, that's a great tool to have.
Yeah. So how do you you mentioned that when you would journal, you would look back every now and then, right? How often do you look at your journal now? Like, is it just during the bad times, or is it during the good times also?
No. So you know what? I had this kind of personal revelation, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, where I saw that a lot of CEOs and a lot of pastors will go away for a weekend and kind of reflect on, okay, where am I going? Where's this business going? Where's this church going? And I thought, man, how much more important is my family? Like, a pastor may not be the pastor of that church forever. A CEO might not be a CEO of that company forever. If they find it that valuable to once a year, once a quarter, to step back and kind of see, okay, let's course correct. Where are we headed? Where are we going? What's important to us? I thought, as the CEO of my family, as the dad, the father of my family, I need to do that.
Yeah.
And so every year I go away for one or two nights, usually head out to the ocean. And I'll take my journal, and one of the very first things I do during those couple days is I read through my journal from the year and kind of then make note of, man, these are all the rad things that are that happened. These are the things that I wish hadn't, but this is what I learned from them. And that has been such a huge rhythm for me to do that each year. Because I mean, dude, my kids, my wife, like, dude, what's more important than that? And, so yeah, I do it once a year is what I do.
No, I love what you said. I love what you said. Like, I'm an entrepreneur, and I love that you said you are the CEO of your family. Because one time I interviewed a guy named Ben Horowitz, who's a big timer, probably a billionaire by now in tech. And he said the one business that he can never fail in is his family. And when he said that, we were live in front of everybody and the room just stopped, where it was like, you know what? I never looked at it that way. Like, we're so focused on moving, right? Getting our things done, getting our businesses going, that we forget about the most important part of our lives, which is our kids and our family and our wives, our spouses. So that's why I like the journal, because I think that brings you back, where now you could go back to what matters, right? Because you're journaling about your family. You're not journaling about everything else, right? You're journaling about how you could be a better dad, I guess. And I think that keeps things in perspective, where now you could just focus.
Yeah, and exactly. And I think, you know, the journal, fatherhood is definitely the hook.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is for a dude to know who he is.
Yep, to find himself.
As it relates to his family. Yeah, to know you have some significant influence. And so you need to know who you want to be and decide, so that somebody else doesn't decide for you, and know that your family is watching you and that your actions, both verbally and like actually what you're doing, has significant impact on the people around you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it. It almost sounds like what you're telling me is it keeps you accountable. Keeps you accountable for the things that matter. It keeps you
accountable, for sure.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, when, like I said earlier, when you love your kids, you are accountable to them, and they kind of like force you to do the right thing most of the time. And this is a dope way to actually like look at the process. So now you actually started a Kickstarter for this, right? And you beat your goal by a couple thousand dollars, I think it was. First of all, how did it feel knowing that other dads out there needed it?
Yeah, man, it was a very interesting process. So last year was wild. I had launched my first book, Rebel and Create, Father's Day weekend. So I just self-published that and put that out and started my podcast that weekend. And I was just getting such good feedback from the conversations I was having that I thought, let's make a journal. And Kickstarter had always been interesting to me. And I'll tell you, it was a whole heck of a lot harder than I had thought it was going to be.
Yo, everybody thinks it's easy, man. Everybody thinks it's easy.
Everybody thinks it's easy. And so, yeah, I think we decided that July. So we created the journal and the Kickstarter, and that all started July. And then we did the Kickstarter October. And then once we saw the Kickstarter was a success, we ordered the journals because we wanted to get them into dudes' hands before January 1st. So it was a whirlwind. It was fast.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure there was moments when you were looking at Kickstarter saying, man, is this really worth the trouble, right? So how did your kids, or how did other dads keep you accountable to actually pull through and get this done?
Yeah, one of the greatest things is I've always had a coach. Yeah. So
what do you mean by coach?
The last four years.
Like a business coach or a life coach?
Yeah, like a business coach. Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, we meet every 2 weeks. Shout out to Clarence. That guy's a stud. And I mean, it's just lit a fire under me. You know, it's like focus on one thing. So, I mean, the biggest key is, okay, what's the deadline? And what do you need to do every single day into that point? And then have it in OneDrive or, you know, Google Sheets, and just know every day, this is what I got to do to get there. And then, you know, my team around me helping to keep me accountable, and my gracious wife to say, hey, this is what I want to do, and her support to do it. And then, yeah, I mean, saying it out loud to a couple of key friends who, you know, you don't want to disappoint. You don't want to say it to them out loud. And then, you know, 3 months later, they're like, hey, what happened? Oh, yeah, I just didn't do it.
It's embarrassing.
You know, that's not the tone I want to set for my kids. If like I say it, I'm going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love it. I love it. I you know, every time I talk to an entrepreneur and I ask them, you know, how I'm going to teach my son something in business or how to make money. Right. Like one time I asked Gary Vaynerchuk, I go, Gary, man, how can I teach my son not to pimp himself out for free products? And his answer was, you do it. You have to do it. You have to show him what it's like to not pimp yourself out for free products.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, man, I kind of knew that answer. But damn it, you got to put me on the spot like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But you mentioned coaching. You mentioned that you have a business coach, right? How important is it to have a coach there on the fatherhood side? Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's a huge opportunity. I think that it happens, right? Mm-hmm. So all of us need a mentor.
Yep.
I don't know that men are that great at it. That's why there's a coaching business out there.
Yep.
Because we should have three or four people that right now, if I'm dealing with something, I can call who have been ahead of me, whether that be parenting, business, marriage, whatever. There should be those relationships. And then I should also not be selfish and have friends who are, I don't want to say behind me, but who are, you know, maybe younger, maybe newer in their business, that when they are calling me, I answer my phone because I know that they have a question. So to answer your question is, we all need mentors. I mean, life passes down to life. That's legacy. Relationship is key. I do think that there is an opportunity for dads to either find a mentor or find a coach who could help guide them into deeper understanding of their identity as a father.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's kind of hard, man, because I look at it and I have a few mentors in the business game, but then I also have some mentors that aren't official mentors, right? People that I look at their content and it's almost like, this is my mentorship, right? They're teaching me about it without having to talk to me or hold me accountable. And I think with dads, it's hard, man, because when I was going to launch my stuff, people were like, man, you should become the dad coach. You know, like grab dads, jump on a monthly meeting with them and just talk about fatherhood stuff and becoming a better father. And my first response was, hell no. And I said, hell no, because I didn't think that dads needed to learn how to be a better father from me. Where I knew I was a good dad, but I didn't feel like it was a business opportunity. Like, I didn't want to charge another dad, you know, $100 an hour to talk about fatherhood. It's right. Like, man, this is worthless. Right. But now, as we're building these individual companies, we actually see that, no, dads actually want that. Like, they want somebody to talk to, and they're willing to pay for it, which is incredible, man. It's like you said, yeah. Like, we all need mentors, and I guess the dads are just hard at asking for help. You know, it's hard for them to ask for help sometimes.
Yeah. So, I mean, either coaching them or creating a network where people can ask questions. And I think that's what you and I and other dads who are kind of trying to fill this fatherhood space are doing, is let's provide value in different ways, and however it works for the dad, let them pull it. But one thing I love Seth Godin, that great marketing guy, had said is, in this day and age, you know, there's mentors everywhere. You don't even have to know them. Yeah. I mean, you can go follow James Lopez's work and be mentored by him without even meeting him.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so the stuff that you and I put out, or others put out, is coaching people on what's possible. And, you know, like, I just listened to your podcast the other day of, you kind of gave some tips on how to stay at home.
Yeah.
And with your kids. Right. And so to share that, but not only share the, I made this amazing craft with my kids, and make it feel really unattainable. You're like, yeah, there's moments where, the kids just go on their tablets. It's just way easier for them to go on their tablets all day. Yeah. And being okay to own that versus making a dad feel like, oh man, I am not ever going to live up to this.
Yeah. I mean, that's the fine line between the business side and the relatable side, right? Where it's like,
for sure.
You, like, for me, I don't, you know, I joke around with people. I know people sometimes hate it, but I tell them all the time, I don't do the cute stuff. Like, I don't document the cute stuff. The cute stuff happens regardless. I want to talk about right. the stuff that the dads are afraid to talk about, like breaking the rules and letting them use their Wi-Fi all day long. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, these mm-hmm. are the things that we actually yeah. have to deal with. I don't wake up every morning saying, hey, you know what? Let me turn on my camera and let me go tickle my son just so I could get a laugh and people could say, wow, this was cute. No, I'm going to go show right. you me waking up my son and him swinging at me because he doesn't want to wake up. This is reality.
You know yeah, what I mean? Man. I have such a hard time with that, because it's like, I don't post as much on Instagram as I probably should as a business thing. But I've kind of told myself, I don't want to make my kid post 10 times or say something, you know, like, I don't want it to ever be set up.
Yeah, exactly.
It just doesn't work for me. Now, on occasion, there'll be stuff like that, but that can't be the standard, that this is just some fake setup every day. And I don't want my kids to feel like they're a business.
Yeah.
You know, I want them to feel like I'm having fun with them. Yeah. Or props, because I love them. Like, I just enjoy being with them. So yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah. So now back to the journal real quick. So when they finally sent you your first journal, right? I'm pretty sure when you got it, you looked at it and you were like, wow, this is incredible. What did you show it to your kids, and how was their reaction, but how was your feeling towards them holding something that you physically created?
Yeah, it was interesting, man. I have this personality that when I first see something, I need a couple days. Like, I need to process it. So we were on such a tight timeline that I did not get a sample sent to me. Uh-huh. I just got 1,000 books showing up at my house.
Just a whole box
on
full.
A crate. A whole lot of boxes full. And for me, like, if a guy's going to hold this, I mean, it's hardbound. It's got this, you know, kind of like a Moby Dick old book you'd find on a shelf in a library in the middle of nowhere kind of a feel. That's what I wanted. So when somebody holds it, it doesn't feel like there was anything cheap about it. You know, yeah. It was made that I'll be excited to hold this in 20 years. So with that being said, and I'm holding it, looking at it right now,
you're holding your baby.
It took me 2 days to like feel good about it. And then I, you know, take it to my family and show them and let them see all the little details, all the little icons, all the pieces. So it definitely felt good to have my kids see something that I made, created.
I mean, I think that leads back to the beginning of the discussion about, you know, learning how to become a better dad, right? Where it's like these little things, like we're joking around about how good it feels to create something. But in reality, it feels even better when you create something and then you get to show it to your kids, where it's like, look, guys, like anything is possible. Your dad just created this, mocked it up, mocked the design, had it sent to him, and now I'm going to go help other fathers. Like, it's an incredible feeling knowing that you could tell them, I did this. It wasn't Target. Totally. It wasn't Walmart. It wasn't Bill Gates. You know what I mean? It was me. And it feels so good. And I think that's how you lead by example, where now your kids can look back and say, yo, my dad made that. I could make one even better. Let me go make this. You know what I mean?
And yeah, that's
it feels
good.
So good. It feels so good. So now let's get to the podcast, man, because I love your podcast. You mentioned that even though you were a good dad before, you realized that you weren't giving them the best of you, the best energy possible. How has your podcast helped you with that, bro?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, well, it's a balance, right? Because I am passionate about entrepreneurship and creating things new and making a podcast. So to say the podcast, I don't ever want the podcast to get my best energy, right? So if choosing over my kid or choosing over this, you know, it's like I'll wake up at 4 a.m. to get things done so that I'm not stealing from my kids.
Like a real one. Like a real one. That's a real dad right there. You get the hustle done anyway.
Yeah. I mean, the book and the journal I worked on from 4 a.m. till 7 a.m. That's when I worked on it, because then I woke up my kids, helped them get to school, and then I have my business that I have to run every day. So that's when I spent the time doing those things. But to go back to your question, it's a constant battle. It's not a decision like I can make one day and then every day my family gets my best. It's the journal helps me be in tune with that. You know, am I giving them my best? You know, there's been times, you know, when I've gone and I've been working on a sale, right? I sell insurance. I've been working on a sale and I'm meeting with an HR manager and I give them my best, right? Like I went and got the perfect fruit basket from Whole Foods and I show up and I spend hours on my presentation and I give my presentation just to get a no. And then I come home and my family gets the leftover crap because I'm irritated. And so I gave my best creativity, my best energy to some person who may or may not ever be my client down the road. And so it doesn't change that I'll still do my best for work, but I'm not emptying. I try my best, right, to not empty the gas tank so that when I come home, I'm there for my family. And dude, it is a lifelong journey that I'm going to be figuring out to make sure I'm coming home. Yeah, totally.
It's hard because you could, like you just said, you could set up the perfect pitch on the business side of things. You could have a perfect day for that, but then you could wear yourself out that now when you come home, simply because you're mentally tired, you can't give them the best of you. Where you might not be listening to the conversation the same way. You might not be responding the same way. Like you might even have a little attitude responding. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's what I wanted to decipher, because, you know, to a lot of people, my best self, the definition is different, right? And you just put it into perspective where if you can't be your best self for your kids, then you're kind of not going to do anything else, right? Because I think I would feel bad if every single day I'm giving it up to somebody else and not taking care of my kids. You know what I mean? Or giving them the best person that I am.
Totally. And I do think you need to have grace for yourself, because every day can't be epically, you know, this perfect family dinner and everything was epic. Like those days aren't every day. So there are times where work is going to just suck you dry, but it just makes sure it's not every day. And then going back to the podcast, I think that, you know, that's a fine balance too, because, you know, I'm interviewing other dads and just trying to gain knowledge from that and share it with others. And so that's, you know, continued to help me refine who I am as a dad. But it's like on one hand, okay, I want to be a leader. And so I want to show, hey, I'm a great dad. But then on the other hand, I want to be relatable and show, hey, I actually don't have this all figured out. I'm trying to figure it out just like everybody else, how to have a relationship with my 14-year-old daughter and how to make sure I'm maintaining that and showing her what a good man looks like. But also not just being her friend. So it's like, I'm struggling with the same stuff, but talking about fatherhood with others is, it's helpful. And then the last thing I'll say about the, you know, ask me another question about the podcast is making sure I'm not taking on other people's personas. Like if I hear James and I hear that he, does this certain thing every single morning with his kids, that doesn't mean that that's what I have to do.
Yeah.
You know, I want dads to be themselves. So I think as they're hearing my podcast, your podcast, others, I think there can be this sense of like overwhelm, but maybe it just let it be inspiration and be like, dude, that's that dad's thing, you know? And then helping look in the mirror to go, what's my thing? You know, well, I just love to tickle my kids and have just joke with them, you know? I might not do what the next dad does. And I think that's okay. And I think it's important for you to know that your kids need you. They don't need me. They don't need James. They need you specifically. You have something to offer your kids that I can never offer them because I'm not their dad.
Oh, that is so real, man. Because I see that. I see that every day online. Like online, I see every day people that are creating content, especially on the content side. They'll follow the trend. You know, if people are doing the flip the switch challenge, you know, changing into their diapers and their wife's clothes.
Right.
Everybody wants to do it. And it's like, man, if it's not you, don't do it. Like, you don't need to do that. And that's for the content side. Now, for your kids on the lesson side, it's like, man, you want to teach them that you don't have to follow the herd. Right. You don't have to follow the pack. Like, you could do your own thing. You could be a rebel. You could be a rebel and actually go out there and create something for yourself. You know what I mean? And
that's it, man.
That's a huge, huge lesson. So now, you know, you realized that you wanted more in life and then you pursued it. You did it with the podcast. You did it with your business. Are there ever times when you look back at your kids and you tell them, I want you to chase your dreams and I'm going to be here to enable it instead of actually killing your dream? Like, how do you attack that side of things? Like, how do you go to your kids and tell them, I want you to dream big like I do, but I also have your back?
Yeah, it's such a good question. And it's kind of a interesting time to ask the question too, right? Because we're at this like world reset right now with COVID-19. And I think that I have conversations with my kids, especially now, you know, we're all kind of locked up and we skip town. And so we're having a lot of conversations about what is our life? What do we want it to look like? And so I share with my kids, you know, the things that I'm happy that I did and things that I would maybe reconsider, like college. You know, I share with my kids, I don't know that college is for everybody. And here's why. I want you to go explore the world. I want you to go do what you want to do. But, you know, as a dad, I feel like my job is to expose them to a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And so I want to expose them to, okay, sports and travel and different books and different ideas of and worldviews. And then give them the freedom to make decisions inside of that. And that's tough as a dad. Yeah. But I think if you stop and think about it at least, right? If you think about it and you have the conversation, then it allows them to know that it's okay to ask questions.
Yeah, I think that would be my journal entry. Like my journal entry for one of the days would be, How can I be a better dream enabler, but also be realistic with them? Where it's like, if my son told me, Dad, you know, I'm 5'6", I want to be the next Michael Jordan. Well, I could come in and tell him, yo, go do that. Let's go get you some training. Let's go shoot around, you know, wake up every day at 5 a.m. Let's get that workout in. But the big but is you might not become Michael Jordan, but you could become Jaden.
Yeah.
And that's good enough for me. You know what I mean?
I think that's
the hardest part, like trying to stay real with them while not killing their dreams. Right. Like that's always tough. Yeah. And I think that's how I would use the journal. And I kind of think that that's how you use the podcast, where it's like you're sort of cheating. Right. Like I call it like I did this in business. I call it cheating in business, where everybody's like, man, you grew so quick in business. And I told people, well, I interviewed over 1,000 people through Skype when Skype was the thing, like, you know, meetups was the thing. That's how I cheated. Yeah. Like they gave me all the tips I needed. Like I didn't have to go explore on my own. They actually gave me what I should focus on. Right. And I think that's what you're doing with your podcast, where now you could get other dads' perspectives and see how it lines up with yours. Right. And then you can apply that. And that is super, super dope. So a quick question about the podcast, man, like off the top of your head, has there been a piece of advice that came from a podcast guest? You don't got to give us the name that actually told you, man, this I have to do. Like, it's really going to get stuck in my head. Has there been that one piece of advice that really like lit a fire under you?
That was positive. Yeah. Something that got me excited.
Yeah. Something that got you excited. And you say, you know what? I'm doing this. I'm doing this for sure.
Yeah. That's so good. Let me think about this for a second. So They're so, somebody asked me recently, which was your favorite podcast? I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like asking me what my favorite kid is.
You can't answer that.
Men are sharing, they're sharing their life with me. They're sharing their life. And so it's hard to say, but I would say that something that I learned was to take 5 to 10 minutes with each kid one-on-one. And I don't remember who shared that with me, but they shared how they would just kind of pull their kid outside, sit down or, you know, wherever, sit down and just ask them about their day. But, you know, like just check in with them. And so that's been really helpful. And then just to shut up and be quiet. So that's one. And then I have one other that hit me as I'm telling you, is to ask your kid what you do that bothers them or annoys them or frustrates them.
That's a hard one, man.
Dude, it was hard. And so practically I did it. So I went and I asked my daughter, she was 13 at the time. And I was like, hey, is there anything I do that really just bothers you? And I won't get upset. Just, you know, I won't get upset. Tell me what it is. But then knowing that I have to be willing to change it. And so she said, yeah, you kind of tease about boys too much. And here's an example, like say we're driving down the street and there's like four boys that are, you know, 15 years old walking down the street. I would pretend to roll down the window and yell at them, you know, which would be embarrassing to her. And so those things, yeah. But here's the thing, man, because when she said it to me, I wanted to shrug it off and say, oh, are you kidding?
No big deal. I'm your dad.
It's silly. It's not a big deal. But if I asked her that question and she said it and it was a big deal to her, then I had to be willing to change. And so we still joke, but I have toned it down a lot. And then I check in with her on it and say, hey, you know, earlier I said this. And she's like, oh, no, that was totally silly or whatever. And it's huge because it's created this opportunity for her to trust that if I say something or I ask her something, because what if I just laughed and was like, oh my gosh, that's silly. Is there something else?
Yeah, she won't.
She would never, ever tell me.
Yeah, no, you know, this is the part where we get better, right? I know why I ask my son. My son is 13 years old. And whenever I see little girls walk by, I do the same thing. And I take it a step further that I look at him and I go, oh, you like her, right? Like, what do you like about her? And he'll get upset, right? So I want to ask you, why do you play with her like that when it comes to males? Are you trying to find out if she's into boys yet? Or is it just that you're messing with her? Because I do it to find out if he's into girls. Like, do you have a girlfriend, dude? Because you're not going to tell me. So let me see if I could pick at this.
Yeah, I think I just do it to be lighthearted. So it's like, I know she's interested, right? I mean, I know that that's there, because she's willing. Like, I know the boy at school that she thinks is cute.
Oh my goodness.
I know who she likes.
Yeah. The secret weapon, so, man.
Well, that's the thing, is knowing like what's the balance of, can I say something about it and should I not? Because, you know, I try to be very cautious about it. So I actually don't joke about that kid.
Yeah. He said, I don't joke about him. Not that one.
I don't joke about him. Yeah. And I, you know, it's, so I just try to be real open with my daughter. She's my oldest. And then I tell her, I'm like, hey, this is the first time I've ever raised a teenage daughter, anything. Like, you're the oldest. So let's both have some grace for each other as we're kind of figuring out our relationship.
Yeah, no, it's funny, man, because that's what I do that with my son, because I honestly do not know what's his type. And I don't think at 13, 14, they know what's their type. But every now and then I'll see a girl that reminds me of somebody that he did like. So I'll toss it back to him and say, yeah, that's her. That's her. And him and his friends will be like, nah, James, no. Or they'll call me father to his lip. They're like, no. And they'll brush it off and they'll just say father to his lip for like that. I could just stay quiet. And it's like, man, I just want to open up the gates, right? I want to be able to have these conversations. Yep. So I do it jokingly with him, but you made me feel now like I have to sit with him and ask him a serious question, which is, what are the things that bother you? Like, does it bother you that I joke around about the girls like that? Because I do want to get better at being a father, but I do also want to get better at the communication side of things, right? And I want to know how he feels. So thank you. Thank you for that, because now you gave me something to go do. Now I got
to
go find that.
And see, that comes back
box.
To the mentorship.
Exactly.
That comes to the mentorship thing, because that wasn't my idea. Somebody gave that to me, and now I'm giving it to you, and then you're going to give it to others. And that's what we need to do as dads, is create that passing along to each other, because we might not be at like the dads group every Tuesday morning for coffee.
Yep.
That doesn't really happen as much. And that's why I called the podcast Fatherhood Field Notes, because my goal is to open up a dad's field notes and let him share some stuff and be able to go, oh, that's dope. And, oh, I dig that piece. And I don't really like that, but that's cool that you do that.
Yeah. And that's how we get better. You proved it. You proved it. That's how we get mm-hmm. better. That's how we get better. So what's next for you, man? You were telling me you're actually going to do a dope little sale for the journal, man. So is that
yeah,
next?
Yeah. So just the other day I was journaling, it was last week, that's when I was telling you I was kind of feeling that funk. So I opened up the journal and I'm like, dang, this totally changed my mindset for the day, right? From this crap, another day with all the kids in the house. I got 5 kids, right? So all the kids home from school, and the journal, you know, it helped me with my day. And so I was like, you know what? I've got a few hundred of these sitting at home right now. Why don't I just give them away? Like, the Kickstarter funded, these journals have been bought in a sense, right? It's supposed to kind of set you up as a seed money. But so I said, hey, promo code, go to the journal's $35. But if you go to rebelandcreate.com, you put that journal in your cart, you put in the promo code fatherhood, all you got to pay is $5 and we'll ship you a journal. So you're basically just paying for shipping because it's like, dude, fathers got to come together. And if I have a tool that's helpful, then let's get them all out there. You know, it's just here's a gift. If it helps you be a better dad during this time, go grab one and we'll ship it to you.
Dogs, that right there, what you just said right there, earned you all the respect from me. Seriously.
Mm.
And the reason I say that is because I have this mantra online and I say it every week. And once again, I get a lot of bad DMs from it. And I tell people all the time, we do not sell t-shirts. We're out there helping dads live their best life. And that's what you just proved right now. You said Kickstarter already funded this. The people already funded this. The people that I'm supposed to give rewards to, they already got their copy. How can I help dads even more? Well, this is paid for. I don't really need to make money off of this. Let me help them. And that's how you help dads, because it is a business.
Yeah, man. That's
we need
rad
to
thing.
Keep the lights on. We need to keep the lights on, but we need to find other ways to keep the lights on also. Right. And when you find something that's valuable for people and you could actually hook them up, that's when you get the respect. You know what I mean? Because now you're not doing it for your pockets. You're doing it to help a father.
Yeah, man. And that's why, you know, like, as much as I would love to maybe not sell insurance for my day job, I keep that up because, you know, when it comes to the fatherhood stuff, I don't want to make decisions about the Rebel and Create brand based on how I can put more money in my pockets. Like, of course, it'd be rad if one day people want to pay me thousands of dollars to come speak and it can help support me. But I don't want to make decisions about how I'm trying to share the fatherhood adventure and journey with other, you know, fellow fathers based on, you know, oh, that's not a good business strategy. Well, that's not how I want to make decisions for this. And I hear you say the same thing. Yeah. You know, you're not about the selfie with a rad t-shirt. You're about the, hey, I went to Home Depot and I spent my morning working with my kid on a birdhouse and now it's hanging up. And we both look at that and say, we made that together.
Yeah, man. Experiences over everything. I tell people all the time, impact over everything. As hard as it is, it's all these guys are killing it. Seth is killing it. Gary's killing it. Ben Horowitz, who I talked about, killing it, but they always focus on impact. The hardest thing to do. Once you start impacting people, I pray that we all get paid. But until then, we do what we set out to do, which is help some people. So what's the best way people could get in contact with you, man?
Yeah, man. My Instagram is at Ned Shout, and my Rebel and Create is at Rebel and Create, and that's where we post everything about the podcast, anything that we got going on.
And your site?
So Facebook and Instagram.
What about
and the website is rebelandcreate.com, and that's where you can get my book, you can get the journal, and there's, you know, you can see the podcast and everything that's going on.
Man, Ned, you killed it, bro. And you really showed us that you could do anything you want as long as you have your priorities straight and it starts with your kids. I can't
right on.
I can't thank you enough, man. I truly appreciate your time, for real.
Yeah, James, thanks so much for having me on. And I just appreciate, you know, all the love you're giving to all the dads out there. They need it. They're important. They matter. And it's a wonderful cause, man.
That's right. Get rebellious, man. Get rebellious. Step your dad game up. Step your own That's game right. up. Your own business game up. Your life. Step your life up, man. Right? Like do it. Do the things that matter for you and that you know your kids will learn from. And hopefully one day they'll do the same thing. They'll go out there and challenge the world like we do, man. That's what it's all about. That's living. So to the community, when you truly care about your kids, everything you need to do, you got to do it with them in mind. They keep you accountable without even having to harass you, and it's a huge blessing. Keep making your presence felt. We matter, and our kids will forever be our main source of inspiration. Let's get it. Fatherhood is lit.